Okay, so I want you to, I'm going to just walk through the book and the study for you so you see what you have. And this year, the book is separate from the Bible study. So you can read the book without doing the Bible study, and this book is for sale everywhere, and many people are reading it. But we are reading the book and doing the personal Bible study that goes with it. So you'll see in her book, she has an introduction, and that is what I'm going to be covering for us today. I'm going to kind of regurgitate her words for the introduction so that when you go home, you can kind of skim through the intro and start on chapter one. And then our Bible study just matches each chapter of this. So on next week, or when we go home, we'll be reading chapter one and doing chapter one, lesson one, out of the study. So lesson one, Revelation 1, 1 through 8. So lesson one goes with chapter one. Does that make sense? I would encourage you to read, I think she calls it a note from Nancy. I would encourage you to read her note. It's just a front and back, beginning of your study. Some very helpful information there, so give that a read. And then we'll start right away week one with her lesson number one. So these, the lessons, they, so I always call this our homework, and most of the homework is just 2 pages front and back. You could do this in as short as 30 minutes, or you could spend 2 hours on it. So, and that'll probably look different from week to week for all of us, depending on what our week looks like and how our brain feels. So I would really, really encourage you to do your homework, though. Complete these questions in here. Whenever we do a Bible study, we want to comprehend what we're reading. We want to interpret what we're reading. And then we want to apply what we're learning. It's very easy in a Bible study to read the word and skip over to the application part. Homework like this, questions like this, make us slow down. We want to comprehend, which is, what does it say? What does the scripture say? And then we want to interpret. What does it mean? What does it say? What does it mean? And then move to application. What does that mean for me? What do I need to change? How do I need to live in light of what I've learned? So we're going to slow that process down, and homework is what helps us slow that process down. So I would really, really encourage you to do your homework. Now, if you do not get your homework done, come. Come anyway. Show up on Thursday morning. Come to large group teaching. Go to your small group. You will glean something. So lots and lots of grace. We are all in very different phases of life. And it's going to look different for all of us. So I will encourage you to do your homework. And then if you don't do your homework, I will encourage you to just come. Read what you can and come. If it helps at all, for those of you who did the one big story, the Bible read through with us last year, on week one, we went home and were expected to read the entire book of Genesis, right? This week, we're going home to read Revelation 1, verses 1 through 8. 8 verses. That is doable. That is doable. Even if all you do is just read those 8 verses 3 or 4 times during the week, you will profit from that, right? That's what the Lord says. We will profit from that. So, read it, comprehend it, interpret it, and then we'll come back together to discuss it and do more application questions. So when you are in your small groups together, your small group leaders have discussion questions that are very application-based. So that's what we'll be doing in our small groups together. Any questions about that format? No. Okay. Let's see. There are... Hold on, I felt like there was a help at the end of this, is there? No, there's not. That's not what you're saying. There are 2 things that can help you with this study if you're interested in a little extra more. Nancy Guthrie has put together a podcast that goes along with this book, and it's called Blessed. If you're a podcast listener, go to wherever you listen to podcasts, and her podcast has the same cover as the book, so that's how you'll know you have the right podcast. I think there are 10 episodes, And she interviews a different pastor or theologian for each podcast episode. They don't necessarily match up with the chapters. It's just more information on the book of Revelation. I am loving these podcasts. They're short. They're like 30 to 40 minutes long. And I'm finding them very easy to listen to. You'll laugh along the way and you'll learn a ton. But just very helpful information about the book of Revelation. So if you're a podcast listener, I would suggest those. And then we also have purchased Nancy's videos where she does the teaching on these books. Now, the video is exactly the same as her book, like word for word, exactly the same. But if you are not a reader and you would rather watch a video, and it is video, it's not audio, so I can send you that link. She has a protected page on Vimeo. That's where all the videos are. So if you would prefer to watch videos, let me know and I can send that out to you. Okay, how many of you have studied, not just read, but studied the book of Revelation before? A couple? All right, that's actually more than I thought there might be. My hand is not up. I've read the book of Revelation, but I've never studied the book of Revelation. It is not a common book to study. There's actually even a lot, I would say most pastors don't even preach on the book of Revelation, at least preach through the entire book of Revelation. Because it's a little bit daunting, is it not? It's a little bit intimidating. All those visuals, all those signs, all those symbols, it can feel like, how in the world am I supposed to understand this? So I think it's common that in a group this size that only about five people have actually studied the book. So we are really all in this together this year. We are all learning. It's an intimidating book and it makes us hesitant to study. But I am convinced that this is a fantastic study, that Nancy Guthrie makes it simple for us to read and to understand the book of Revelation. So in Nancy's introduction, in her book, she talks about the reasons that we might avoid the book of Revelation, and then she talks about the reasons that we should study the book of Revelation. So I'm going to go through her introduction, like I said, almost just regurgitate a lot of her words. So here are four reasons why we tend to avoid the book of Revelation. The first one is we are afraid that we won't be able to understand it. This genre of literature is apocalyptic prophecy, and that is something that we are not used to. All these visions of the end times, those are not books that we read. Now, that would have been really common literature for the original hearers of this book. They would have known what to do with apocalyptic prophecy. That was far more common. So that's one of the reasons we feel like we can't understand it, because we're just not used to this genre of literature at all. But Revelation was not written for scholars. It was written for us. It was written for everyday believers. It was written to reveal hidden realities, not to make them harder to see and understand. So what we will find is that this book is far more simple than we tend to think it is once we get through all of that apocalyptic literature or apocalyptic prophecy. It's far easier than we think. Another reason that we avoid the book of Revelation is that we know there are lots of disagreements about the book of Revelation, yes? And this is true. There are a lot of disagreements about this book. There are people with very strong opinions about how to read and understand this book. And sadly, this creates barrier for a lot of us. But here's how Nancy Guthrie approached this book. She says, certainly some of her views will be evident in places that she decides, or sorry, certainly some of her views are going to be evident as we read her teaching. But she decided not to make it a goal to make an argument against opposing views. She just states plainly what she thinks the scripture states, clearly states. She's not interested in controversy or speculation, but she presents what is clear and cannot be ignored. So this book is not going to dive into all of the different ways of thinking about the book of Revelation. She states what she thinks is plainly there in the scripture, and she's not going to spotlight opposing views on that. The third reason we tend to avoid the book of Revelation is we think Revelation is mostly or completely about the future with nothing practical for us today. But let's think about that. Why would John write these letters to these seven original churches in that first century only to be for the generation that would exist when Jesus returned? Right? That doesn't make much sense, because that still hasn't come. Think how many people have read this book between then, first century church, and now. And who knows how much longer we have to go. So it makes far more sense that John is writing to all believers about what they need to know and how they need to live. Revelation helps us to see that there is a final battle, that Jesus will return. But that doesn't mean this book is primarily future-focused. Revelation is less about Jesus, about when Jesus... Let me start that over. Revelation is less about when Jesus will return and more about what we are to do, who we are to be, and what we can expect to endure as we wait for Jesus to return and to establish his kingdom on earth. So it's not as much future-focused as we tend to think it is. It has a lot to say about us right now and how we should be living. The fourth reason we tend to avoid the book of Revelation, we know that there's a lot about persecution of believers in the book of Revelation, and that makes us uncomfortable. Our love of comfort makes this book difficult to read. The threat of true persecution is hard for us to relate to. We live pretty comfortable lives. And that tension is uncomfortable for us. We have a lot of security in our lives. Our comfortable lives make us content to wait a little bit longer for Jesus to return. Revelation invites us to share the ache of persecution our brothers and sisters in Christ have endured in history and are enduring today and will continue to endure. And it tells us that the days of evil are numbered. They will end. And there will be a day when there is no more evil. So four reasons that maybe we should study the book of Revelation. We might not be able to understand everything in Revelation, but we can understand its central message. So, if our goal is to figure out what all the symbols mean and what all the details of all the visions, we are going to be frustrated. So let's not make that our goal. People have been having that debate forever, literally forever, and not agreeing and not quite figuring it out. So that's not our goal. We are looking for the central message of the book of Revelation. And then are we willing to embrace the message that Revelation has for us? And are we willing to live in light of that message? So that's where our focus will be. We will be looking for the central message of the book of Revelation. The second reason we should study the book of Revelation, we need to see this world and our lives in this world through the perspective of heaven. Our perspective is very limited, is it not? We get the here and the now, and maybe the 20 years, 40 years, 60 years, 80 years that you've already lived. But that's all we get for our perspective. John had the curtain pulled back, and he got to see the unseen things. He has a very different perspective for us in this book. So, we are given heaven's perspective in this book. That's what we're looking for. Not our perspective, but heaven's perspective. The third reason we should study this book is we want the blessing that is promised to those who hear and keep this book. Revelation 1:3, and we'll study this week, says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. And we want that blessing. That's the blessing that we are promised. And we want that blessing. We are going to be challenged to think about what it means to hear and to keep. And we are going to look differently at what the blessed life really looks like. And it's not going to look like hashtag blessed on social media. The fourth reason we should study the book of Revelation. We need to live out of the story that Revelation tells. We all live out of some story. We all live out of what we believe is true. For some, it's the American dream. For some, it's something that ends in happily ever after. We all live out some story. But there's a story that we should all be living out of. A story that should shape who we are and how we live. According to Jesus, the kingdom of God is that story. And it's been the story from the very beginning of time, from creation. We spent all last year walking through the entirety of the Bible, right? From Genesis to Revelation. This is what that entire book, that entire story is pointing towards. That's what we get to study this week, this semester. Revelation was not written to entertain us, to set out a timeline for the future, to satisfy our curiosity of when Christ will return. Revelation was written to fortify Christians to live in the world, to endure its harsh treatment with a firm confidence that this world is not all that there is. In fact, what might seem like defeat in this life is going to give way to great victory. And that's what we get to see in the book of Revelation. There are some things that would be helpful to us as we read the book of Revelation in order to get the most out of it that we can. The first one is that we need to be ready to use our visual imaginations. There's a lot of visual. I consider myself a visual learner. I'm so helped by visual aids. But this book is over the top. Like, it's too visual sometimes. Like, I have to bring it down a little. John is writing what he saw. In so many other books of the Bible, the authors are writing what they heard. John is writing what he saw. It's a lot. And we have to be able to see beyond time and beyond space to understand what he saw. Because this is all from heaven's perspective, right? The curtain was pulled back for him to see it from a new perspective. These images are intended to jolt us, so let it. It's uncomfortable, we're not used to it, it makes your skin crawl a little bit, but let it. Don't push that away. It should jolt us out of our normal way of thinking. The second thing we need to work on is we need to develop our skills in interpreting, our interpreting skills. Revelation uses a whole lot of symbolism. In some parts, the symbols are plain, and sometimes they're even stated explicitly what they mean, what they stand for. But sometimes it's a little bit more challenging than that. So we will learn to rightly interpret these symbols. And spoiler alert, these are not a system of codes waiting to be matched for meaning with people and events in our current day. We are not going to find that in the book of Revelation. But we will learn how to correctly interpret a lot of symbolism. A third thing that would be helpful to us is we need to have our eyes and ears open for Old Testament imagery and allusion. This book is filled with allusions to the Old Testament. Remember, the Bible's one big story. This is the culminating end of this one big story. So we're going to be flipping back to the Old Testament a lot, so be ready for that. The fourth thing, it's helpful to have a sense of how this book is organized. I'm going to give a basic overview of this, but I do suggest reading this part in her introduction because she goes into more detail. But I think it's easiest to organize the book of Revelation into two parts. The first part is the first half, chapters 1 through 11, and they introduce God's triumph. And then the second half, chapters 12 through 22, explain that story in greater detail. So you're looking at the same story twice. God's triumph, and then the story, that story in greater detail. Now, there's a lot more breakdown you can do, and she does some of that in her introduction, but that's basic for us. Nancy also says this, the most important thing that we need to understand about the organization of Revelation is that it retraces the same events from different angles, each with a different emphasis or focus. This is not a book that's written in chronological order. We are looking at the same events from different angles and different times. So it's easy to think this happened, and then this happens, and then this happens, and this happens. But she will help us to see that it's retracing the same events from different angles with a different emphasis or a different focus. And the fifth one that would be helpful for us is we need to replace an unhealthy fascination about the future with a determination to follow Christ in the present. There are many views of the end times, I've said it before, and how it's all going to play out in the end, and these are worthy debates to have. But this is not the purpose of this study here this semester. We do not want a fascination with the end times to overshadow the central message of this book. The Lamb will consummate his kingdom for God's glory by saving his people and judging his enemies. God wins. That's where our focus will be. This book is written to comfort and encourage and exhort Christians by revealing future events and providing a healthy perspective on our present difficulties. That's where we'll keep our focus, not on the timeline of the end. All right, I'm almost done, and then I'll send you off to your small. Hey, I'm doing better than I thought I was. Aren't you happy? Good, thanks. That's my goal, Kathy. Okay, four things. These are not actually from Kathy. From Nancy. These are not from Nancy Guthrie. These are from Ryan Mayo, actually, from when he helped our leaders a couple weeks ago. Here's how we should read the book of Revelation. We should read the book of Revelation like a child reads a story, or like a child hears a story. Revelation is loud. It is noisy. It is colorful. It is chaotic. It's sometimes nonlinear. You get whiplash from chapter to chapter. There's danger in this book. There is a hero in this book. Read this book like a child reads this book, and our eyes will be opened. Read this book like a worshiper. God, the creator and the hero of the story, deserves our worship. And we are called to worship over and over again in this book. So read this book like a worshiper. Read this book like a cheerleader. And there is actually a set of pom-poms in my office that someone dropped off for me, and it did not make it out here today. But a cheerleader arrived at the 6 a.m. study this morning. If you're going to study the Bible at 6 a.m., you need a cheerleader. You guys are a little bit more awake, but read it like a cheerleader. Jesus does the fighting. Jesus opens the scroll. He's doing all the work in the book of Revelation. We sing, we pray, and we cheer. So read it like a cheerleader. We're not fighting the battle. And then, lastly, read it like an heir. As believers, we are heirs to Christ. We get to read the book of Revelation as an heir, as family. Family of the King, we are not his enemies. We read as those who have hope, not as those outside the gates of the New Jerusalem. So read it like the family of God, like the heir that you are, and we will see all that's promised us in the book of Revelation. All right, we are going to break up into our small groups. Small group leaders, if you kind of want to, like Linda and Kathy or Kendra, if you kind of want to just go out this way so you can point people towards your group, and actually Kristen too, over on that side, and then everybody else is on this side. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll go. If you are able to put your chair on a chair cart, that would be great, and then head to your small group. But let's pray. Lord, thank you, Father, for this time together. I pray as we head into our small groups that women would feel welcomed, that they would feel known, that they would feel comfortable, and that you would knit these groups together in only the way that you can. Father, I pray that our small group time would be profitable for women and that it would be honoring to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.